Praise God. Well, I am very, very excited about tonight. I've been preaching all year, and this is my final engagement of the year. So you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I've written something new. I only finished this message on Friday afternoon, and I really feel it's a word that's going to bless you and encourage you. You know, as I walked in tonight, firstly, I've never walked through an igloo before coming to church. That was a new experience, but a very good one. But I come in with a great expectation in my heart. My family, they send their love and regards. We showed some photos in this morning's message. Most of you know my family, but I'll show you another picture if they've got it. Don't know if they have. Maybe. Maybe not. I can just see the side of my head. Oh, don't worry about it. You've seen them all before anyway. Is it coming? No. Well, I'm married to Lisa. We've been actually married 11 and a half years nearly now. So we got married on my birthday. And that's a good tip for some of you single guys out there. That's a good day to get married. And we have two beautiful children, two little girls, Lila Hope and Lucille Faith. Lila's 6, Lucille is 3. And they are very, very excited about Christmas this year. But they're my miracles, and I'm very blessed to have such a wonderful family. Anyway, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word tonight. Father God, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in and through this church. And I thank you that we are able to come together to celebrate Christmas, the birth of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as this Word goes out tonight, that it will be a word in season. Lord, the men, women, and children will be blessed, encouraged, challenged, inspired. Lord, that hope, love, and peace will fill this place this evening. Lord, may every person leave church different to the way they came in. May this be the greatest Christmas of their lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. The spirit of Christmas is all about giving. People will give cards to family and friends. People will give their time to events, productions, and parties. Some people may give money to charities or a cause that they believe in. But what most people tend to give at Christmas is a gift. Now, I love Christmas. I do. I love Christmas. However, I am not the easiest person to buy for at Christmas. Anyone else like that? Anyone a bit difficult to buy for? Yeah, just a couple of brothers. Oh, one or two sisters too. I like that. You see, people will ask me, Luke, what would you like for Christmas? And I always say, you know, it doesn't matter, anything or nothing at all. I'm quite content. However, I have learned over the years that if you give no hints, if you give no clues, then you cannot complain if the standard of gift you were hoping for doesn't meet expectations. And unfortunately, over the years, that has happened to me. I've had a few interesting gifts, mainly from my lovely Nan, who every single year, she's 88, she's still full of life, she's loud like me, but she always buys me a shirt that's too small and a pair of slippers that never get worn every single year. For how I'll be 40 next year, as Ed said, I'm getting on now, you know. Also, my auntie. You know, for years, my auntie would buy me these little electronic devices that would always die within a week. But the most interesting gift I ever received was whilst working on a church staff when I was in London. And we had agreed that we would do a secret Santa. A secret Santa to the value of £15. Now, I am not a big fan of secret Santa. Secret Santa, I heard an amen somewhere. Yeah. You know, secret Santa brings pressure. It's pressure. You know, you pull the name out of the hat and then you think, wow, I've got to spend £15 on that person. Okay. No, they don't think like that. We were all working together in church. We never think like that in church. Anyway, I put a lot of thought and effort into my secret Santa. And I would expect the same if someone would be buying me a gift. But what made this night even what brought more pressure to the night was we were sitting around a massive long table with about 40 of us, and we went up and down the table opening each gift in front of another, you know, one another. So I could tell that the standard of gift on this particular year was particularly high. And I know the gift I'd done, I was pleased with my gift, and I watched it come around the table and I thought, excellent, it's going to be my turn anytime soon. Well, I opened it up and I've never seen anything quite like it. A pink and gold glittered bath bomb. Exactly. I mean, I'm a loud, gym-loving, Jesus-preaching man, and whoever my friend was thought it was appropriate to buy me a pink and gold-dusted glittered bath bomb the size of a football. I mean, I had to act like I loved it, but that was over 10 years ago, and I've still not healed from the pain that I endured. But let's face it, I hope that person isn't watching me tonight, actually, just in case. I never told them I didn't like it. But let's face it, buying gifts is a risky business. But what if I told you tonight that I could give you a gift? I could give you a gift that brings calm to your chaos, a stillness when all hell is breaking loose, a positive shift in your perspective despite the challenges that you're currently living through. I am sure every single one of us would want that gift. I mean, who wouldn't want such a gift? Well, if you haven't guessed it already, I want to talk to you on the message that I have titled tonight, Peace I Give to You. Peace I Give to You. Peace is powerful. The dictionary describes peace as a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from disturbance. But peace is more than a word. It's more than an idea, more than a feeling. Actually, peace is a gift from God that He is willing to give to every single person that surrenders their life to Him and walk in His ways. One cannot enjoy life without having peace. A lack of peace is deeply unpleasant. When the mind is restless, when that sick feeling in your stomach does not shift, when those sleepless nights occur due to the anxiety and stress and pressures of tomorrow. Many people live troubled lives when they have no peace. Yet the Bible makes it very clear that God is into peace. He wants you to be at peace in all things. Peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. In fact, there are over or around 400 references to peace in the Bible. That is more than one verse a day. Obviously, God knew that you and I would run into a lot of situations this side of heaven that would attempt to assassinate our peace. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief, the enemy, the devil comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you know the devil? He isn't after your talents. He isn't after your money. He isn't after your car. No, he is after your peace. He's after your peace. For if he can rob you of your peace, then you cannot think straight. Your focus is distorted. Your productivity is reduced. A lack of peace steals your joy, sabotages your purpose, and shatters your dreams. Oh, when you have no peace, you have problems. No peace means no problems. But to have peace, to have peace means to have power. Peace equals power. Now, there are a few trivial things that can rob me of my peace. watching my favorite football team, Watford, lose, which doesn't happen often. I was at the game yesterday. We beat Preston 5-1. I was there. Sorry to all you Preston fans. I was happy yesterday. Thank you. Thank you, sir. My fellow Watford fan, I like that. But when they lose, man, it can rob me of my peace. Heavy traffic. Traffic. That's another thing. But what also really, really steals my peace is slow drivers. Drivers that sit in the outside lane. You know, the outside lane is for overtaking, not loitering. Yeah, some of you, you know, you feel my pain. But jokes aside, as I was preparing this message over the past 2 weeks, I can tell you that my peace has been under attack. One morning, I was sitting just here working on this message, and my phone rang. And it was the preschool. And it was the school that my three-year-old daughter attends. And, you know, I picked the phone up, and it was her teacher, Lucille's teacher. And she said, "Everything is okay, but..." And instantly that peace that I had been dwelling on was quickly evaporating. But thankfully, it wasn't too bad. You know, she'd fallen over, she'd bumped her face, and she survived. It was okay. So I carried on with my work. Later that day, that week, we had to take the car to the mechanics. We'd had this persistent problem with the car. To cut a long story short, they said, "Look, for us to fix this, it's going to cost about £5,000. You know, that's worth more than the car itself. Not what you want to hear in the build-up to Christmas. To top the week off, Lisa, my wife, had a phone call from the doctor. She hadn't been feeling very well and had had a blood test. And this particular test, a result came back very high. And when this comes back high, they say it is an indication of ovarian cancer. And so the next few days were very challenging because we were told she would need a scan within the next 1 to 2 weeks so that this can be checked out. And so we had to wait day after day. Thankfully, she had the scan and everything was all clear. But I can tell you, my peace has been up under attack. But I took it as a sign that this was the message that God wanted me to deliver to you tonight. The message of peace. That God, we sung it in those hymns, those songs tonight, that God is the Prince of Peace. And His peace, which is a gift, is very much available to you and I. When Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament foretold the birth of Jesus Christ some 700 years before it actually came to pass, listen to how Jesus was described, the Savior of the world. We heard it in a Bible reading earlier, Isaiah 9:6. It says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Do you know the Hebrew word here for prince is Sar. Sar, S-A-R, and there is a military tone to this word. It actually means chief, captain, commander, general, governor, ruler, someone who leads, someone who guards, someone who oversees. Now, peace here, the Hebrew word for peace here was shalom, and it means perfect peace. It means wellness. It means soundness of mind. So when you put those words together, Sar Shalom, it means that Jesus is the commander, the captain, the ruler of perfect peace. Wow. I mean, there's no doubt about it that Jesus came. He came into this world to give us peace. That was said all about him before he was born. But now look what was said about him on the day of his birth. In Luke 2, it said that while the shepherds were nearby, they were watching over their flocks. One night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And they said, "Do not be afraid. We bring you great news of great joy for all the people." And listen what it says in Luke 2, 13 and 14. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to with those with whom God is pleased.'" And you know, at that point in time, the Roman world was experiencing Pax Romana, and that was a Roman peace marked by external tranquility. But the angels that spoke to the shepherds that night, they were proclaiming a much deeper, a more lasting peace than that. They were talking about a peace of mind, a deep peace that would now be available in the soul, made possible by the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And so the peace of God, it was spoken about before Jesus was born. The peace of him was talked about on the day of his birth. And then we see throughout Jesus' time on earth, when he walked the earth, he too was very vocal about peace. In fact, some of the final words that he spoke to his disciples, not long before his crucifixion on the cross, he promised peace to those who follow him. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace I give to you. Peace I give to you." It was a gift for all of his followers. So how do we receive it? How do we receive this peace, this inner stillness that surpasses all understanding? How do we win the war that rages within our soul and our mind and our heart for peace? Because that's what it is. I believe every single one of us is either going through or has been through a battle for peace deep on your insides. Oh, it's a struggle for some people. It's a wrestle. And sometimes you get some relief from it. Sometimes you have some peace for a short time. Sometimes there is a ceasefire in the way you feel about your situation. And a ceasefire is a good thing. But you don't want the Christmas holidays. You don't want tonight's message to just be a peace ceasefire. Over the holidays, you'll get your fix of food, you'll get your fix of Netflix, you'll get your fix of sport and have time off work to rest and reflect. And perhaps with so many distractions, you'll stop thinking of that addiction, you'll stop thinking of that loneliness, you'll stop thinking of that unfulfillment of work. You'll come to church, you'll hear a good message, you'll be inspired, there'll be new vigor, there'll be new vision, there'll be a determination in your heart to start 2024, a better version of yourself. However, by mid-January, 2 weeks into the new year, the ceasefire is over. And the peace has subsided. And you're back in the firing line, facing the same problems, feeling the same way about yourself, fearing the future, just as you did before Christmas. Oh, my prayer for you tonight, my prayer for you is that you receive more than a peace ceasefire, more than a temporary fix, more than a 2-week respite. You see, we don't want peace to be a gift that you open at Christmas and then forget about 2 weeks later. No, I want you to leave this place knowing that you can walk in God's peace for the rest of your life, no matter what situation comes before you. If you want that tonight, give God a hand of praise in this place. And so three quick keys to help you experience this inner peace, God's peace that I'm talking about. The first is this, number one, is that you need to come humbly to God. If you want that deep peace with God, you need to come humbly to God. You know, I believe that we can all live with a deep peace no matter what situation comes against us. And I have been in some tough situations and have had to experience, I've experienced this peace. But it starts with knowing God personally. Pastor Ed touched on it a moment ago in our prayer time. In Luke 2:14, the angel said, on that day Jesus was born, he said that Jesus will give peace to those with whom he is pleased with. Other translations say that he will give peace to those on whom his favor rests. In other words, peace is available to all, but not assured to all. It's available to all, but not assured to all. You see, if you want to experience this deep, true, and genuine peace, it starts with knowing him personally. On that starry night, the Bible says that Jesus came. Just as it was prophesied, God, wrapped in flesh, stepped out of the corners of heaven. He humbled himself to walk this earth like you and I. He would then die on a cross so that our sins would be forgiven. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. And so Jesus came as the infinite Son of God to die an infinite death so that you and I would not have to die. He conquered death so that our future in eternity could be secured. So that you and I could walk with him this side of heaven. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus has done, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Peace with God. Now, some of you may say, yeah, but I'm not in rebellion with God. I'm not in rebellion with God. I'm a good person. I give to the poor. I come to church sometimes. Maybe. But do you know Jesus personally? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, then the Bible says, not Luke Brendelin, the Bible says that you're a sinner, which simply means you've turned your back on God and you've chosen to live life your way instead of God's way. But God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. That's why he died on a cross, to reconcile us back to him, to bring us in to right relationship with him. And by acknowledging that you need him, by giving him the rightful place in your heart, that is the first step to experience deep peace. Now you might say, but Luke, I know that. I know what you're saying. I'm a Christian. I know him as my Lord and Savior, but I still feel worn out with worry and overcome with adversity. Well, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me. Oh, when was the last time? When was the last time you came to him? And I'm not talking about that 2-minute prayer you pray before you fall asleep at night. No, I'm talking about going into your bedroom, shutting the door, getting down on your knees and saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the strength. I can't figure this out all by myself. I need your help. Oh, there is something freeing about asking for help. For I have learned that when you step back, and you give God your problems, your pain, your past, then my Bible says that God steps in and he starts going to work. But you need to step back. You know, humility is the pathway to peace. Humility is the pathway to peace. Humility gets the attention of heaven. Do you know God is moved? God is moved when you come to him humbly. Or maybe you feel like you can't go to God because of the mistakes you've made, the regrets you have. Maybe you've asked him to help you in a certain area of your life 100 times before. Perhaps you feel burdened by guilt and shame and you feel unworthy that you could come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to ask for help. But that's not what God wants. He wants you to come to him as you are. come as you are. Hebrews 4:16 says that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Oh, you may not know what to say to God when you're in that desperate place. So come to Him like the child you are. You don't need to be eloquent in speech. You don't need to hide behind a facade or pretend to be a better version of yourself. You're not supposed to have it all together when you come to God. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to be hurting. It's okay to be in trouble. God is not looking for protection, perfection. He is looking for humility. He is looking for humility. Do you know when you come to Him with a humble heart, the Bible says that He will lead you beside still waters, that He will give you rest for your weary soul, that He will renew your mind, that He will free you from that oppression. Oh, you will receive a peace that is unshakable. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, that peace is yours. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor. And say, that peace is yours too. If some of you fell for that twice today, have a word with yourself. The second key to experiencing God's peace is this, number two, is that you need to get in partnership with God. Matthew 11:28, I just read this to you about coming to Him, you know, weary and burdened. But then listen to verse 29. Jesus then said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke. Yoke. Yoke is a funny word. It's an uncommon word. It's an old-fashioned word. But yoke, they're going to show you a picture. I'm going to show you what a yoke is. They're going to put it up if they've got it there. But a yoke is a wooden bar or frame. You see that? That would go over two animals, normally cattle, cows, or oxen. Because they'd put that yoke upon them and it would help them pull a cart or plow the ground across the field or up the hill. It made it easier for both of the cows or both of the oxen. It was binding. It was a binding mechanism. It was bringing two people or two things into partnership. For someone worked out all those years ago that two is better than one. You see, what Jesus was saying here in Matthew 29, He was saying, take my yoke upon you. In other words, yoke up with me. Yoke up with me. Come and stand alongside me. You've been carrying that heavy load. You've been carrying that burden for too long. I did not call you or design you to carry that stuff all by yourself. He says, connect with me. Yoke up with me. Partner with me. I will pull it with you. In fact, He goes one step further. Jesus says, I'll take the weight. I'll take the weight. Let me do the heavy lifting. All you need to do is come alongside me and partner up with me. Now, some of you in here have been yoked to the wrong things for too long. Yoked to the expectation of other people. Yoked to guilt, fear, rejection, anger, anxiety, pain, disappointment. All of them things are heavy burdens to carry. All of them things steal you of your peace. And perhaps you've tried your best. You've tried to fix your problems. You've taken time off work. You've gone on holiday. You've taken the pills. You've followed the program. You've changed your philosophy. You've rightly done everything you can do, but you still don't have the peace that you crave. Oh, friend, can I tell you that only a life fully surrendered and connected to Jesus in partnership can truly satisfy you and give you the deep peace that you're searching for? Oh, I'm just getting warmed up. I know I've got to speed this up. Is it helping you tonight? You see, there's another partnership in the Bible that I want to touch on as well that also highlights this truth. And that is the partnership of the shepherd and the sheep. Now, I can't say I know a lot about sheep. I'm sure Pastor Ed, a seasoned farmer, could get up here and educate you better than what I could. But I know what I have observed over the years when looking at sheep. And that is this. Not that I look at sheep too much. You know. That wasn't how it was supposed to come out. But sheep are calm animals. They're calm animals. I have never seen a sheep pacing up and down their paddock filled with worry. Have you ever seen that, Ed? I wasn't sure if it happened up here in the Northland, you know? No, what I've learned, they're calm. They're calm. They seem quite content just being sheep, despite the fact that they are defenseless animals. I mean, sheep don't have sharp teeth. They don't have strong back legs, yet you don't see them losing any sleep or getting flustered about some of the encounters or dangers that may come their way. Why? I'll tell you why that is, because they know who cares for them. They know that the shepherd is watching over them, and that as long as they are under the shepherd's care, then everything is going to be okay. And that's what the Bible says about us and our relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that He is the good shepherd and we are His sheep. Yes, we will face some threats. Yes, we will come under attack from time to time. We might get sick, exhausted, or even lost. But when we know the good shepherd, then we have nothing to fear. For the Bible says He watches over you, He leads you, He guides you, He protects you, He will even lay His life down for you. So no wonder the sheep have nothing to worry about. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, a very famous verse on peace, says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know, life can be hard sometimes. Ups and downs, highs and lows, good days and bad days. The Bible warns that every single one of us will face trials and hardships and situations that make little sense. Whether you're worried about your workload, fearful of your finances, nervous about your next doctor's appointment, do as the Scripture commands you to do. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Remember who you're praying to. Remember who you're praying to. Remind yourself today who you're in partnership, who is watching over you. Worry doesn't change anything. Worry cannot add a single hour to your life. So start focusing on God's goodness. Remind yourself who's with you, that He is bigger than your problem, that while you are resting, while you are sleeping, God is working. God is working. Friend, your load will get lighter when you partner with God. Perhaps the band can come forward. My final point, number three, is this. To experience that deep peace is that you need to walk it out with God. Walk it out with God. Do you know, not to worry about anything is a lot easier said than done. Especially when you're in a real battle. You know, you're waiting on a diagnosis. Received a bad medical report, going through a relationship breakup or breakdown, having guilt over a decision that you've done, saying something you wish you hadn't. The list could go on. I could give you so many examples of worry. And it's easy to worry about so many things. And perhaps for you, in the middle of some of your trials, you've tasted peace for a moment, a day, or even a week. But how do you ensure that that peace stays upon you the whole time you pass through? I believe the key to it is found here in Isaiah. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. It says this: you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord Himself is the rock eternal. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Steadfast means committed. It means devoted. It means faithful. In other words, what this verse is teaching us is that no matter how rough your situation gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how long you find yourself walking through that valley, the key to perfect peace is to fix your eyes on Jesus daily. Daily. When you wake up in the morning, the very first thing you should think about is Jesus. When you're making your breakfast, the first thing you should think about is Jesus. When you take your dogs for a walk, the very thing you should be thinking about is Jesus. When you go to the gym like me, it isn't all about the bench press. I should be thinking about my Jesus. When you're cooking in the kitchen, and some of you may need some help in the kitchen this Christmas, we should be thinking about Jesus. The very last thing you think about before your head hits the pillow at night is Jesus. Is Jesus. And if you repeat this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you will find yourself entering into perfect peace. When you keep Jesus front and center of everything you do, everything you think, everything you say, no matter what you're going through, you keep trusting Him. You keep walking with Him. You keep believing with Him, because my God, He will come through. He will come through. God works all things together for good. Psalms 103 verse 9 says that the Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. Job 12:10 says, in His hand, listen to this, in His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind, which means God is in control of all things. He's in control of all things. When we believe this, it gives us the perfect peace we need to get through our stormy season. Our stormy season. Can I give him one more thing? I know I'm over time. One more thing. One more thing, and then I'm done. Then I'm out of here, and you don't have to see me for another year. At least. In Ephesians, chapter 6, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God to stand against the devil's schemes. Remember what I said earlier, the devil comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. Secure the breastplate of righteousness. Take a hold of the shield of faith. Wear the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit. But did you notice what else he said? He said, for your shoes, put on the gospel of peace. You see, when Paul encourages us Christians about the armor of God, he highlights the importance of correct footwear. He knows that you cannot win any battle or take any ground if you can't move forward. So he says, fit your feet with the readiness of peace. In other words, the foundations of everything you do, everywhere you go, is built on experiencing the peace of God. If you have no peace, your perspective is limited and you will miss out on all God has in store for you. Oh, there is nothing worse than wearing shoes that were not designed for your feet. Too small and the pain of blisters will soon be upon you. Too big and you'll be tripping over every single obstacle that comes your way. Today, you need to put a new pair of shoes on your Christmas list. And they are called the shoes of peace. They were designed with you in mind, and they are ready for you to wear every single day. Oh, I believe that if you walk in the shoes of peace, then you will not just live victoriously, but you will run through every season, every chapter, and every year of your life victoriously. If you believe it in this place tonight, then why don't you stand to your feet and praise our God like you mean it. Come on, let's praise Him in this place. Opportunity in this moment to make your peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your heart. I've already told you the good news that Jesus died on a cross and rose again to save you and I from our sins. So right now I want every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you would say tonight, Luke, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never made this decision before. Or perhaps once upon a time you did, but the peace of God that you once had is all but gone, and you've backslidden and you've walked away from Him. I'm speaking to you tonight as well. I just want to pray with you. I would love the privilege of praying with you. And so if that's you on three, I want you to lift your hands. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you to the front. This is about you and God tonight. Make that decision tonight. And you can leave with a peace that transcends all understanding. If that's you on three, here we go. One, two, three. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand too. Wonderful. Would anyone else join these people tonight? Thank you at the back row. I see you too. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. Okay, you can put your hands down. As I said, I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer, and I want every single one of us to pray it, even if you didn't raise your hand. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son Jesus Christ. Today I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. Father, I turn towards you and I accept your gift of grace. I ask that you would use me as a follower of Christ to make your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give those people and our God a round of applause.